If you haven't signed, you preachers, if you hadn't signed one of my papers, I'm going to put you on my prayer list. Give me a cell number. Sometimes I send out text verses. I try to work you in sometimes. Can't get to everybody all the time. Ephesians 5. I want to finish up what I started yesterday. And talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Greatest need of the hour. Greatest need of the hour. To be filled means to be controlled. Most people's controlled by the flesh. That's why there's such a stench coming off of them. That's right. People's controlled by the Holy Spirit. Sweetness comes out of them. Amen. Now you won't be as cantankerous and mean as the devil. You're either not saved or you're walking in the flesh. And the flesh is God's enemy. Nothing in the flesh can please God. God won't let it in heaven. He won't let it in front of Him. Amen. That's why God regenerated you so He could put the Holy Ghost and the new nature in you so you'd have a way to connect with God. He won't fool your flesh. It's satanic. It's His enemy. And it's our enemy. And we walk according to the flesh, that's what the results will be. It's what the flesh can produce. Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, then that's all it can do. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that a saying that said unto thee, you must be born again. So that means you got to be born of the Spirit. We were born the first time. Oh, Lord, are we ever messed up from that first birth. We're better off than Adam was before he sinned. You know why? Because if Adam hadn't sinned, there'd always be the possibility that he could. We have sinned, he sinned. We've been saved and justified and reckoned as if we never sinned. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're declared righteous. The righteousness of Christ. Adam had his righteousness. We got God's righteousness. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Ephesians 5 verse 18. Let me get into this. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Of course, that's that leads to debauchery. Leads to ungodliness. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you want, you know, I tried to explain that yesterday in my feeble attempt. So if you want to hear that, you'll have to go back to that tape of yesterday, verse 19. Here's the evidences of being filled with the Spirit. Sort of like in the fruit of the Spirit, if you got love, you got all of them operating in your life. If love's not operating, none of them are. If love is, they all are. These three things, if they're operating in your life, all the rest of them will be. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know what that means? Make yourself happy. You worship God more in private than you do in public. Oh, yeah. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, they just something special about a person that's got a worshipful spirit and has a thankful spirit. And then verse 21 has a submissive spirit. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's written to the church primarily, not the marriage. And then he goes and talks about marriage. It does have to do with marriage. But it's got primarily to do with the church. Submitting one to another. In the different ranks of authority that God gives us in life. That we're submitted under that. That doesn't mean you're not smarter than that person that God placed in authority. That doesn't mean you don't have more skill and more ability. It's got nothing to do with it. Who God chooses, God chooses. Won't do any good for David's seven brothers getting mad at him. Who God chooses, God chooses. Hey, some things you're not changing God's mind about. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now yesterday, we saw this sequence of the Spirit-filled life. You've got harmonious praise, continual thanksgiving, and mutual submission. I tell you what, let's just pray for a minute. Holy Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I yield my members as instruments of righteousness and not unrighteousness. God, we love you and we praise you. God, we want to be effective in the work of God. Lord, there's nothing about us that can be effective. But Lord Jesus, you living in us, flowing through us, can bring glory unto yourself. Holy Father, you sent us to glorify your name. That's what we're here for. So God, we pray for the fullness of the Spirit. Oh God, I pray, God, you'll settle on this place like an early morning fog. Cleanse the air. Clean the air. Satan, you're rendered powerless in the name and by the blood of the Son of God who defeated you 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. You triumphed over the principalities and powers, made a show of them openly. Hallelujah. For your mighty authority. So bless us now. Set your man apart for tonight. Let everything be done to glorify you. In Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's start again. Amen. So you got the sequence here of being filled with the Spirit. You got harmonious praise. I mean, you got desire to worship God. Man just don't do much for you when you fall in love with Christ. Entertainment doesn't do much for you. Because you want Christ glorified. That's your heart and that's your life. I'm throwing that out and getting William stuff right here. That's a Methodist baptism right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Harmonious praise. Got that inward desire? You love Him above all things. Your life is obsessed with it. You pursue Him every day. He got after you in salvation. Now you're getting after Him after salvation. Harmonious praise. And you never can get over being thankful. Continuous thanksgiving. You don't thank God because you feel like it. You thank God so you can feel like it. And then you got mutual submission. Here we've got everybody in their place in the divine order. Now, I want to talk to you today and go past what we done yesterday. Talk about the Spirit-filled life. And I believe here that the Spirit-filled life is critical, not just to a preacher. He better have it. He's out of business if he don't. Because he's operating according to the flesh and his own intellect. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to know how to hear the voice of God. You say, people scare me to hear God's voice. People scare me. It don't. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You say, that's the Bible. That's right, but it's more than that. The Holy Spirit called me to preach. That's not in the Bible. How, you say, that's an impression. What's an impression? Well, you feel led. What's feeling led? God give you a spirit that's got ears to hear the voice of God. Now, ain't talking about an audible voice now. We're not talking about the sense world. We're talking about God speaking to your spirit. Telling you where to go. Unveiling His will for you. Amen. My sheep hear my voice. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to discern the counterfeit spirit of the flesh and the devil. Then we learn how to discern God's leadership. Then we share in His burden. We relish in His fellowship. Holy Spirit makes the Father, Papa. Abba Father, Papa. He makes Papa, Christ, real to you. Just as real as if you're standing in front of Him. The Holy Spirit's my prayer partner. He's my preaching partner. He's my praise partner. Amen. Everything we do is in being yielded to the Spirit. I just got a blank right there for some reason. You know why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? He'll check your conscience. When you're about to go wrong, He'll check you on the inside. Throw up a danger sign. You don't know what's wrong, you just know something don't feel right. Sort of like seeing a sign tells you caution. You don't know what it is, but you better obey it. You might be in danger of great temptation or disobedience. God will check your spirit about people. Some people sound right, they don't feel right. We need to understand that a human body has got functions. Your soul has functions. Your spirit has functions. And we think about this, how we want a desire to know the truth of God and to be yielded to God and learn to be what we have become. That's right. You need to learn to be what you've become in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul is praying about under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that our spirit, our soul, our body would be preserved blameless, not sinless, blameless. We need to be blameless where there's no point of accusation. You can't pray if your conscience is stabbing you about sin. You've got to have a clear conscience. You've got to have boldness to preach. You've got to have boldness to witness. You've got to have boldness to pray. And that accusing conscience has got to be put to rest, and that lying mouth of the devil has to be silenced. Now listen, Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, about this being preserved blameless. And by the way, man naturally has it backwards. Here's man's importance, body, soul, spirit. God's importance, spirit, soul, body. Every one time God speaks of these individually, 60% of the time He deals with the spirit, 30% of the time in the Bible He deals with the soul, and 10% He deals with the body. That's how important it is to God, your spirit. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How do you understand that? By divine revelation. And that's through your spirit. God touches your spirit and your mind comprehends what the Spirit of God said to you. According as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. When you got Christ, you got Him and all the inheritance with Him. Amen. He did this before the foundation of the world because He's got a plan for all of our lives. What's that plan? We should live holy and blameless. Well, we've been blessed. It says all spiritual blessings, heavenly places in Christ Jesus to stand without fault. How that means what a person must do is totally rely on Christ for our righteousness and our holiness. And then after you're saved, you rely on Christ to produce personal righteousness in your life so you don't become a Pharisee. You can still love people you disagree with. And you don't have to dot every I and cross every T to pray for somebody. And you've learned how to love Amen. You've learned to make the, keep the main thing, the main thing. To stand before God without blame. That's what that means. The key to this, it's not how man looks at you. It's how God looks at you. When God sees us totally relying on Christ for our salvation and our sanctification, listen to me, folks. I can tell you to do certain things, and a man's got to. Because people, you got to preach law to people that are lawbreakers. You don't preach law to a man full of the Holy Ghost. You preach love to him. Because he's living by the law of love. Amen. And you mention the law, and people say, well, I got to do that. That preacher's intimidating me. I got to please that preacher. Boy, doesn't it make all the difference when the Holy Spirit sanctifies your heart and you do what you do out of love for him. When that preacher's gone, you still live out what God put in your heart. God sees us relying on him for salvation, victory, peace, power, purity, blamelessness. Then we know that he's going to get all the credit. You just can't strut in front of God. Baptists have learned how to strut sitting down. Hey, you can't strut before God. You approach him in humility. You might be bold, but you approach him. You never forget who he is and who you are. So let me get on this right here and we're going to go on. Man's a triune being. You're made in three because you express the image of God. Very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. I pray God your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, listen to me now. You can separate yourself from certain things, but only the Holy Spirit can sanctify you in the eyes of God that he'll accept. Any cult can do certain things and keep certain codes. But when you do it under the power of the Holy Spirit, you do it as unto the Lord. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You hear this truth, it'll sanctify you and it'll divide your soul and spirit. What that means is you'll quit living by your soul and start living by your emotion. I was going to preach a sermon on this morning, but I don't have time. Your soul has been saved, it's been saved, and it shall be saved. Your soul's been saved from the penalty of sin and hell. But it can still sin. And it can still defile you. You've got to be saved from what you are. That's your soul. Now your body's neither good nor bad, primarily. All that your body does is expresses what the soul tells it to do. Your problem's not your body. Your problem's your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions. Amen. The word of God separates us from living according to the flesh life and the soulish life. Separates you unto the spiritual life. Now, human reasoning, your mind. You know what human reasoning is? It's man's thoughts opposed to faith. We don't live by human reasoning. We live by faith. And then you got the will. How that is, how we desire to please God. Before you're sanctified in your soul, you want to please yourself. When you're sanctified in your soul, you want to bow to the Lordship of Christ in all areas. Well, y'all ever heard this before? You need to. When you're carnal, you live by mood swings. When you're spiritual, you live by the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The body is the means that we contact the outward world. Your body gives you world consciousness. Your soul gives you self-consciousness. That's your personality. And your spirit gives you God consciousness. You know what your body is? It's just the house your soul and spirit lives in. Now the soul is a real person. It's the personality. It's the mind, will, and emotion. When we talk about a lost man, being dead in trespasses and sin, we're not speaking from the fact that he doesn't have mind, will, and emotion. A lost man has as much intellect or more than I've got. He's got as much emotion or feeling as I've got. He's got as much will as I've got. What he doesn't have is a third thing. He's got a dead spirit. Now, in your spirit, that's where your conscience is. That's where your intuition or discernment of God is. It's where you have communion and fellowship with God. Man at his core, lost, is in darkness. He has a dark room at the center of his being, his spirit. And he's as oblivious to spiritual stimulation as a dead man is to physical stimulation. That's why you can't do evangelism in the power of the flesh. We must have spirit-filled evangelism. You know, this meeting, and I appreciate our dear evangelist. He's so precious. And I appreciate what he's preached. But that's not what's made the difference. What's made the difference is the drawing, convicting, convincing, calling, converting power of God. That's what's made the difference. Spirit touches spirit. Spiritual evangelism relies on the Holy Spirit's conviction, the Holy Spirit's convincing, the Holy Spirit's call, the Holy Spirit's conversion. In fleshly evangelism, you can appeal to a man's mind and intellectually convert him. In fleshly evangelism, you can appeal to a man's emotion and he can have an emotional conversion, but he stays unsaved. In fleshly conversion or evangelism, you can move a man volitionally. If you're going to see grandma again, you got to get saved. You don't get saved wanting to see grandma in heaven. You get saved because you're a lost, hell-born sinner. You can get volitionally converted and never be saved. You let this stuff sink in. You cannot persuade a man in your power. You get to his ear, you can't get to his spirit. Hey, there's a dark room in there. Only God can light it up. John 1:13. Which were born not of blood. That's your mom and daddy's DNA. Nor the will of the flesh, not by what you do. Nor the will of man, not by what others do. But of God. In salvation, we yield to the authority of Christ. You get a new Lord when you get saved. Now, the Lord becomes Lord in more areas of your life after you get saved. God doesn't save rebels. He saves men that yield to Him. Boy, this is awful quiet right here. Are these converted people in here? You yield to Christ as Lord. Not as a good old boy, not as a man upstairs, as Lord. You can't get saved without repentance. When you deal with a child, they say, well, I want Jesus. And you say, why? Because I love him. That's the wrong answer. What you want to hear is because I'm a sinner. God showed me I'm a sinner. God showed me I'm lost. I heard an evangelist one time say, he had a little, and his girl was 7 years old. A man come by and said, sweetheart, are you saved? She said, no, silly, I hadn't even sinned yet. Well, she had, but she didn't know it. She didn't know it. She wasn't accountable yet. There's not an age of accountability. There's a time of accountability. Different ages for different people. There's a time when God chose a person. They're L-O-S-T, lost. Amen. Young people and adults, children, need to be under the influence of a spirit-filled church. Evangelism must be spirit-centered and spirit-led. For a man to be saved, the light has got to touch his spirit. In Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. The light is the truth, and that light penetrates to the human spirit, and it reveals hidden sin, the depths, and the motive of the heart. So the lost man's in a world of pressure. He's got all this pressure on the outside. He's got all that pressure on the inside. And he doesn't have the answer. He's got a fallen nature. He's depraved. He don't have God. But when a person is born again, God imparts to them the new nature, the divine nature, the new convert, and needs to find out, now that I've got Christ, now that I've found out how to get him in, I need to find out how to get him out. Your spirit is the holy of holies. That's where he's at. He needs to move out. He needs to get in your mind where you start living by faith, and your emotions where you start being guided by the peace of God, and your will where you're under the lordship of Christ. He needs to move out. And he needs to express himself. We need Christ to express himself for all that he is. Amen, folks. So that pressure continues after you're saved. And you got that war going on in the inside. Half the time you don't think you're saved. How can a saved man think like this? How can a saved man act like this? And the reason being, we've never been taught that relentless war that goes on where the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. That old nature's been controlling you all your life. And it ain't going down till it's dead. It ain't going to be permanently dead, but you can keep it from controlling you. Christ lives in our spirit. Listen to Romans 5:10. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. That's as far as most Baptists ever get. Thank God I'm saved. Well, hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. Amen. What you going to do in between those two things? That's the problem of our day. So we see here, we're reconciled to God by the death of his son. That's justification. Much more being reconciled, hallelujah, we shall be saved by his life. Now you're going to get in a ditch if you think every time the word saved and salvation in the Bible is talking about being saved from hell. It means deliverance. You need to be saved after you're saved. See, that's crazy. No, it ain't. You need to be delivered from yourself after you're saved. You need to be delivered saved from sin after you're saved. You need to be delivered saved from the power of Satan. Hey, we got the dwelling place. We got the Holy of Holies. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. The life of Christ. Christ is my life. It's called the exchange life. I give him my life. He gives me his. The old man must be reckoned dead. I'm going to talk to you about how you get full of the Holy Ghost. First thing is, that old man's got to be reckoned dead. I don't understand a lot about salvation. I didn't understand nothing about it when I got saved. All I knowed, I was hell bound. And God, the Holy Ghost, showed me Christ. I'd just run to him. That's all I knew. I don't understand a lot about salvation, and I didn't when I got saved, but I believed. I don't understand a lot about reckoning yourself dead, but I believe. I don't understand a whole lot about God, but I believe. That old man has to die. He must not be allowed to control us. God put the power in us, folks. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to walk when you got a car full of gas, 1,000 horsepower, and you won't turn the key? to spark the fire of internal combustion. How that makes pistons go up and down, turns camshafts, opens up valves, takes in gas, and sends out power. Amen. Isn't it a tragedy? Have a power of God Almighty in us and never use it. You got to reckon yourself to be dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't have to make myself have faith. I don't have to make myself believe. I surrender to him and he lives his life. And he produces his faith through me. Christ is my representative. Now, if you hadn't heard this preached, you need to. And if you've heard it, I've heard lots of stuff preached I didn't hear. You got to reckon yourself to be dead. That old nature cannot have dominion over you. And you live for God. Legally, judicially, and in the eyes of God, when they nailed Christ to the cross, they nailed you to the cross. I am crucified. That's not just past tense, that's present tense. That flesh, that old nature must be nailed to the cross. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You'll never serve God till you hate what he hates and love what he loves. But alive, not enough for just that flesh and the power of it being dead. You got to be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, reckon it to be true. Count it to be true. Consider it to be true. Believe it to be true. One day, the believer discovers that Jesus Christ wants to take over his life. That's where your will comes in. That's where you can oppose God. That's where you can die in the wilderness when you won't yield to him. He'll let you do that, but you'll suffer the consequence. I've been trying so hard. Boy, I know this life. I've been trying so hard to make myself believe. I've been trying so hard to live for Christ. I'm on a roller coaster. I'm trying to do better. I want to improve. I've got to get where God can accept me, but I don't have the power. What's the answer? Just like you repented and believed and trusted when you got saved, that's how you live for God. You repent of your efforts to do it. You believe on him to do it. And you trust him to do it. And you live in it. The old people called it let go and let God. That means let God be your life. God must conquer you on the inside so you can respond right on the outside. He'll nail you to the cross. And once that you're nailed to the cross, you know what comes next, don't you? Resurrection power. You know what comes next after that, don't you? He's enthroned in your heart. Amen. Christ takes over the soul. He controls your mind, your will, and emotion, and you cooperate with him every day to have victory. You know what you say every day? Oh, Lord, I need another update of Calvary this morning where I die to me. Every day, I die to what I want to live for what you want. God's not going to bless my works. He's going to bless his. God don't bless my praying. He blesses his. May all your life, Lord, be expressed through me today. May you be all that you want to be in my life. Amen. Well, you know the Holy Spirit is he's the president. He's the resident in our life. He takes us to the place of death that he might express the life of Christ through you. What's the Holy Spirit sent here to do? He's sent here to live the life of Christ through you. He lived the life of the Father through Christ when he is here. Amen. All of a sudden, when you yield to the lordship of Christ, there's a change in your mind, you start thinking different. There's a change in your emotion. You don't just pray because you feel like it. You do it because you have to. God said do it. There's a change in your will when you're under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. He sanctifies your body, your mind, your will, your emotion. All of a sudden, you got physical energy you used to not have. When a man's preaching a meeting and the anointing power of God comes on him, he can go without much, not much sleep. But when that anointing comes off of him, he's going to crash. Spirit-filled life gives you physical energy to do God's work. If you can't do it, he'll just send somebody by to do it for you as you tell him what to do. Amen. Some people's in a wheelchair. Old Brother Ralph Sexton Sr., when he got too old to run and preach and jump, he'd be so weak in the pulpit, he'd have enough strength to shake that leg, Brother Randy, and say, somebody run for me. Somebody shout for me. Folks, listen to me. Laboring in your flesh, man, it's tough. It's taxing. You know why? When you labor in the flesh, there's no place of rest. The soul finds no place to rest. There's no peace and contentment in all circumstances. When the Spirit comes in fullness, He gives you rest. He gives you peace. He gives you joy. He gives you faith. And He gives you victory. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, spirit, soul, and body, the whole man is changed. I need to be saved from what controls me. I need to be saved from what contaminates me. What messes up my attitude. Oh, I'm going to tell y'all something. You take a lost man, there's a spirit comes out of it. There's an attitude comes out of us. Amen. That's why we need to be sanctified on the inside, that the right attitude comes out of us. The Holy Spirit takes control of our spirit. He controls us, and our spirit gets stronger. You say that ain't in the Bible? No, you shouldn't say stuff like that. Luke 1:80, and the child, John the Baptist, grew and waxed strong in spirit, not the Holy Spirit. That's a little S. Spirit, His spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Luke 2:40, it talks about Christ, the very same words. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Boy, when you yield to Christ, that old soul, that old mind, will, and emotions will start screaming for you to listen to it. Because that spirit gets strong enough to conquer the soul. You say, you understand all this? No, but I believe it all. The spirit, you know what? When we're filled with the Spirit of God, we're strengthened within. That will balance the whole man. The whole man needs to be balanced. Amen. There's three things I tell every young preacher when I think about it. There's three things you need in your life. Number one's brokenness. You need to be broken. God can't use you till you're broken. And you need to stay burdened. Amen. You need to be broken and you need to be burdened. Thirdly, you better get balanced. And you're not that way when you first start out. You're not balanced yet. God's got to balance the truth in you. Where you don't make mountains out of molehills and cut fellowship with people over silliness. That's pride. That's selfishness. I want everybody to be like me. No, we want everybody to be like Christ. If I do, Brother Randy, I'll not get through this. I'm going to tell you something. There's some things we need to learn. If it took God 40 years to teach me things, why should I demand you learn it in a day? Why should a preacher demand all of his church members to live like somebody been saved 40 years when you got a little old baby starting out? Do you tell it, you whip a child because they can't drive a D9 Caterpillar? Huh? Then why don't we have patience with people? If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you've got boldness, but you've got long suffering. You know why? You love them. Spirit-filled life is glorious because of what it does in us. The Spirit-filled life is glorious because for the first time, your life is handed over to the hand of God to work through you, to bring glory to His name and to bless other people. All that is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, out of your innermost being, your belly, your spirit, flow rivers of living water. My only hope that on the inside I die to myself and live to Christ. Amen. You know what? We talk about Christ's likeness, and I know what that means, and I know what we mean, and I know what I mean when I say it. And I just want to tell you right now, you can't be like Jesus. Ain't nobody can be like Jesus but Jesus. And when you get like Jesus, it's because He's living in you, Jesus. Being filled with the Holy Spirit releases Christ through you. You start thinking like it because it becomes your mind. You have love like Him, He becomes your emotion. Hey, you want to obey Him because He's Lord. In the process of the filling of the Holy Spirit, there's some things that's got to happen. Don't get in no hurry now if you want to get full of God. You got to listen. It's according to how yielded you are. You see, some people get saved and they get full of the Holy Ghost the minute they got saved. Now, I'm not talking about getting the Holy Spirit now. I'm talking about getting filled at the same time. If you don't believe in the fullness of the Spirit apart from salvation, I don't know what Bible you've been reading. You got to be filled many times. He's in there, but He's got to get through you and on you. God can't fill what He doesn't cleanse. He will not cleanse what we don't yield to Him. You want to get full of the Holy Ghost, go make out your sin list. Charles Finney said one time, and I tried to obey what he said. He said this when I first started out. He said, make a list of all the sin you ever committed. Even though God's forgiven you, you make out a list of it, it'll sure make you appreciate Christ. And then you burn it where nobody can see it. Because that list isn't for God, it's for you. And then you list all the times. Ask the Holy Ghost to bring your memory. How many times the devil tried to kill you? It'll make you appreciate Him. And know you're not here by accident. When you make up that sin list and you mark them off. If God checked you about one, you might need to make restitution somewhere. Or you really want to be full of God? It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you getting honest and quit blaming everybody for yourself. I can't control what you do. I can control how I feel about it, how you treat me. Amen. Revival starts when people get sensitive about sin. When they want God to make them holy. Where He can hang around them and be comfortable. Little sins become real big sins if they keep even being filled with the Spirit. Little habits become big habits if they keep even being filled with the Spirit. Anything keeps God off our life is a major thing. All it takes is a little break to cut the power off. All it takes is one break in the link to cut the chain. Amen. Confess your sin up to date. Keep a real short sin list. Don't ever go to bed with sin in your heart. Ever. Ever not lay down. All sin caught up. Soon as you commit it, ask God to forgive you. You speak bad to your wife, immediately ask her to forgive you. I've eaten so much crow it tastes like T-bone. Eat it while it's hot. It goes down easy. That cold crow. Oh!
Ask God. Are you serious about getting full of God? Ask God to deal with your sin and bring it all out in the open that's in your heart. Yes. Amen, folks. Oh, we want a 5-second trip to the altar where we don't have to deal with us. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in this. I want to tell you something. God's tough on sin. He's not going to fill you with known sin in your life. Now, you might operate in the gifts that God's give you, preaching, teaching, whatever, but you will not do it with the full blessing of God on it, can't. Choose against self. The whole self scheme. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. Choose God's way over your way. Choose God's will over your will. Heard one preacher say it this way, dethrone the big I. Middle letter of sin, ah! The middle letter of pride, ah! It's got to die! You ain't got no rights, it's His rights. He's the Lord, He's King. Your rights to obey Him and me too. Not obey me, but I got to do the same thing. Jesus said, if any man will follow me, he must deny himself. That means you got to choose his way. You got to die to your way. So you reckon yourself to be dead, indeed unto sin, and alive unto God. Boy, when you line up with what God said, what shall we that are dead, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I'm not going to be much longer, but I'm getting right now where we need to be. How shall he that is dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not? So many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, are baptized unto his death. You identify with his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like his Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. And we also should walk in newness of life. Yourself, you need to have a funeral for yourself and enthrone Christ. You need to have a burial. From this day forward, by God's grace, he's going to call the shots. Why are you preaching that? Oh, I thought you wanted the power of God on you. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we shall also be live unto him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. That's that sin nature. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Christ didn't just come, give you the power to crucify itself. He come give you life. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. You know what you do? You reckon yourself to be dead, and you choose the will of God in advance, before you even know it. God, I want to yield to you to do the will of God before I even know it. Because you're going to transform me that I'll desire it when it gets here. Now to your will enthrone Christ. Jesus is Lord. Now, I want to give you something right quick. Before salvation, you were dead in sin. After salvation, you're to be dead to sin. We're baptized with Christ. You know what baptism means? It means immersed or to be overwhelmed by something. When you're baptized with Christ, you're overwhelmed. When you went down into the watery grave, you were overwhelmed by that water. And you were raised in newness of life. You're overwhelmed by that new life. You can't be raised from the dead. You're dead. Amen. So repentance to sin, regeneration, resurrection. Thank y'all for being patient. It's hot in here. I'm about done. We've got a close union with him. Folks, listen to me. You can't bypass this stuff. Go ahead and whistle Dixie and sing Battle Hymn of the Republic backwards. You can't bypass this.
In grace we understand the old man cannot be reformed. He's got to be put to death. Amen. In the place of that old man, God gives us a new man that desires to obey God. That old man is a rebel. That old man loves sin. That old man hates God. That new man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That new man wants Christ. Amen. He wants you to feed him Christ. That you put on. That's an act of faith. Ephesians 4:24. What's in you, you let control you, you put on. You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And it put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created us. Death to the old man liberates you from sin. I didn't say you're sinless, but you'll sin a whole lot less. If you're not sinning less now and you were last week, you ain't growing in grace. You know what slaves used to say? Death is the only freedom that a slave can never, ever know. That's why he's not afraid of death. That's like a Christian. Doctor says, you got cancer. I hate to tell you, you got terminal cancer. And the Christian says, don't threaten me with heaven. We got resurrection life. Folks, you got the Superman inside of you. That's that new nature. And you got a sovereign God living in man. And we're to get stronger and stronger, reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. Now, why would we want to live like slaves when we've been set free? Why do you want to be a slave to habits? Why do you want to be a slave to saying old filthy words? Why do you want to be a slave to lust? Why do you want to be a slave to alcohol or anything else? Be a slave to that cruel master. Almost damn you. And then you follow him after God saved you. When I'm filled with the Lord, the kingdom of God's in me. One day I'm going to be in the kingdom of God. But right now the kingdom of God's in me. Jesus. You know why heaven's heaven? Because Jesus is Lord. You want to bring heaven to your life? Let him be Lord in your life. You'll have heaven on the inside. Oh, that flesh going to be screaming, no, 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 no. And you say, shut up! It's time to get you back on the cross. That life under his control. What was impossible becomes natural because you become supernatural. You got to settle a sin problem. You got to choose against self. You got to reckon that old man to be dead. You've got to choose the will of God before you even know it. You've got to enthrone Christ Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you become a channel of blessing. That river flows from the gable end of my soul to the backside of my spirit, bank to bank, the river of God. Y'all interested in that? In the Bible, the Holy Spirit's never seen as stagnant. He's always moving. Genesis 1:2, he moved on the face of the deep. Acts 2, he moving like a rushing mighty wind. He moves like a rolling river. And that river's within us. Whoever's going to play for us, come on up here if you will. How do we know if we've ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you know if you're full of the Holy Ghost? I'll tell you how you know. Because you got so much love, you got to give it away. Got so much love, you got to give it away. You got so much peace, you want to share it with others. You got so much joy, it overflows and comes through the inner man. So you got to believe God, not your feelings. God wants to fill us more than we want to be filled. Amen. Folks, I hope you're getting at least something of this. This is it. You can't live for yourself and have God's power at the same time. You can't do it. God ain't in competition with you. You got to throw your hands up. Ha! I heard a man say,
One time he said, when God saved me, I quit trying. I just give up. Woman in the church, she's trying to get saved, couldn't get saved. She went home so frustrated, she got down on the kitchen floor and collapsed and said, God, I give up! God saved her right there. Give up. Give over to the Lord. He gives us victory.